You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Playbook with Rob, Joe and Anika.
If you don't listen to The Playbook, you deserve 20 fucking whacks.
So we had 1 week off. Yeah, we're back though. The Playbook is back and we have one familiar face and we have a new face, my man Lewis.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
Yeah, really good. This is now my, third or fourth little stopgap experience. I'm doing a little promotion for breakfast at the moment. I did Cocktail Corner and What's Cooking last week. So I'm just becoming the little bloody gopher at the moment, nice. Really. Yeah.
Oh, but man, it's so good to have you here. It's cool to see like new faces joining the show and yeah, just more stuff to talk about, I guess. It's been a big like 2 weeks of sports because we didn't cover it last week. Sam, you've been dying to tell us the transfer news.
Yes,
first off though, we should start with that.
At the moment there's a big gap, but in the meantime there is good transfers happening. Some big transfers in the last week. Barcelona over in the La Liga have been doing big business. Got two free transfers. And Andreas Christensen from Chelsea on a free, which means it didn't cost the club anything to bring them in because the player's contract expired at their previous club.
Okay.
And Christensen, this Chelsea centre-back, won the Champions League a couple of years ago. Just a real good player. Didn't renew his contract at Chelsea. And, Chelsea's going to lose for that. Chelsea's going to be at a loss for that, so... It's a shame they couldn't renew that contract.
Mm.
Same with Franck Kessier. He's a defensive midfielder. He's also gone to Barcelona on a free. He just won the Scudetto, the Italian championship, with AC Milan, where he is one of the better players in that squad. But again, didn't renew a contract. AC Milan didn't sign him up for another few years, and that's their loss, because that's a big gap in their midfield now.
Jeez.
Which is on them, especially after winning the Scudetto. Maybe they're relying on the big transfer budget to...
To come through
with a new midfielder, but there really is. That's a big hole to fill. Franck Kessié, he's a fantastic player. Also, João Paiña from Sporting Lisbon in Portugal, great young Portuguese player, has gone to Fulham, who's recently been promoted to the Premier League for 20 million, which is a very good deal for a young midfielder like himself.
Okay.
That's good business from Fulham. Hoping to see some more of that come through. Fulham have been a bit of a yo-yo team, as Norwich have been, pretty much exchanging places in the Premier League and the Championship, just going back and forth, relegation to promotion. Have been doing that for the last few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Big signing, Calvin Phillips, England holding midfielder, has gone to Manchester City for $48 million on a 6-year deal, which is a long contract. It's a very long contract. Good signing for City. For Calvin Phillips, I don't know. He was at Leeds. He was one of the more popular players at Leeds. But the position that he plays is already filled by Rodri, who's one of the better defensive midfielders in the Premier League. So hoping he just doesn't end up being in that rotational system that Chelsea and City are notorious for. So we'll have to see what happens in the coming season. Also, Gabriel Jesus has gone to Arsenal for $52 million. Pretty average deal, I think. Gabriel Jesus was a young talent from Brazil when he signed for City, and he's kind of been underwhelming. Got lost in that system I just mentioned, just getting pretty much rotated in amongst that real star lineup that City has. And when Erling Haaland signed for them recently for $75 million, it was pretty much just guaranteed that Gabriel Jesus just wasn't getting any game time.
Yeah.
So he's off to Arsenal for $52 million. That's a lot, especially when they got rid of Aubameyang, who's been playing very well in La Liga. He's at Barcelona. So hopefully he does okay. But, yeah, I wouldn't be too happy if I was an Arsenal fan. I'm sure Rob is happy, though. Rob, he's a Spurs fan through and through. Be happy that Arsenal's picking up all the average players for high prices. And lastly, on the transfer news, recently relegated Burnley have just lost their star centre-back, James Tarkowski, to Everton on a free transfer.
Yeah.
It's quite a trend for good players from recently relegated teams to get snapped up by bigger teams, and that's Burnley's first casualty. So, I think he's pretty overrated, to be honest. My team, West Ham, has been has been on his radar. He's been on the radar for some time, but I'm glad he's gone to Everton because he's just, I don't know, he's not that great. It's kind of evident that Burnley has just scraped past relegation for the past 6 years.
Yeah.
And now they've finally bit the bullet and gone down. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, I guess.
That's crazy how, like, even during the off season, there's still so much going on, 100%. Especially around football.
Especially since, like, the last 12 years with, like, hugely rich people buying football clubs and just pouring money into those teams. And it's pretty much shaped who wins the competitions, especially in the big leagues. So just big bucks are being spent on players, and there's just constant watching on the transfer window. So it's always interesting to keep an eye out for whether players make big, or whether teams make big money investments or smart investments. Like big money investments like that Gabriel Jesus I mentioned, or a smart investment like Paeño, who's gone to Fulham. That's a really good signing, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. Shout out to Fabrizio Romano, football journalist who's on top of it with all the transfers.
He's always on top of it, eh?
Oh, yeah. He's my go-to source.
Yeah, when we were going through that Mbappe thing, when we thought he was going to Liverpool, and there was rumours, but if it wasn't confirmed by...
If it's not confirmed by Fabrizio, it's bullshit. I mean, it just turned out... I knew instantly when they... Because he just signed a new deal, that huge, huge deal with PSG.
Yeah.
And if he just moved to Liverpool, that would be foolish. Even though it's like, he's basically the CEO of PSG now. It would be real stupid for him to leave off to Liverpool. And especially now, Liverpool, actually, speaking of, I'm going on a bit of a tangent here. They just picked up Benfica youngster Darwin Nunez for $100 million, which is a lot for someone who's only had one really good season in the Liga NOS. But he's got big shoes to fill. Liverpool have had a great attacking lineup, just really been lacking a goal-scoring striker. And they've lost Sadio Mane. Greatest footballer in the world, of course. You know,
nervous about some maybes.
He lost him to Bayern Munich. That's another big transfer, actually. Yeah. $32 million. I think we talked about that.
I think we did.
A weeks ago. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. I think City will win the season. They've got
Haaland up. Damn, calling that early.
100%. Like the one big problem that City have had. They've had lots of depth throughout their squad, but they've never had like a really good striker since Aguero left.
Mm.
And now they've got Haaland, who's like last two seasons. He scored like I think it's like 40 games, he's got like 41 goals. Or like in the season, he's got as many goals as games, if not more. And that's like consistent numbers. And he's only like 22, 23.
Yeah.
I think Haaland's miles ahead of Mbappe in terms of best striker in the world. Yeah, I think City will absolutely tear up the Premier League this year.
We've got the World Cup's creeping up on us very soon, so we'll definitely have more football news.
Although, yeah, Haaland's not in that World Cup.
No?
Norway didn't qualify. Neither did Egypt, so Mohamed Salah won't be there.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, lots of teams with, like, big players, but not so big kind of teams surrounding them didn't qualify, so we won't see them at the World Cup. But yeah, the World Cup will be interesting.
What are we anticipating at the World Cup?
I think it's going to be a Brazil-Argentina final.
Okay.
Just because, like, there have been teams who historically have been carried by one player, but now they've just got really solid lineups. Mm.
There's so much leading up to it, though. Like, we even have, like, an anticipated playbook episode, put aside just for that, because there's so much controversy that surrounds it, because it's being held in Qatar and such. So, yeah.
It's going to be a very interesting World Cup, especially, like, it's being treated like an international break. Like, players are going to go off of playing in their leagues just to spend 6 weeks going to play in Qatar. It's very unusual. Plus, the climate's going to be really hard to play in. It's going to be like 30-degree weather.
It's going to be insane, eh?
And 90 minutes of footy.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
Not fun.
No, not at all.
Are there any major... Have there been any major boycotts of...
I don't think so. Not that I know of. I mean, there's been like...
Too much money in a day. Too much money.
100%. Too much talk, really. I mean, I think Qatar's just too powerful as a whole entity to like really just put up with any boycotts. I think pretty much anyone who has any like... moral frame. This shit is dodgy, but I don't know. Like, I remember even talking when New Zealand lost to Costa Rica, like a whole conspiracy theory that
the
British cheated because Costa Rica's keeper played for PSG, who's owned by like a Qatari prince. That's probably some bullshit.
Another sport which there's a lot going off in the off season. Lewis, we were mentioned the NBA before coming in here. We're like, 3 weeks removed from the NBA finals?
Is it 3 weeks? Yeah, maybe about that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, man, things just start pumping out so fast as soon as they're over. I mean, so we had the draft recently. Obviously, that's sort of like it's a tool that some teams opt to use trying to build through younger players in anticipation of, you know, being able to develop them and turn them into better players later on down the line. But otherwise, there's been a lot of big trades and some big trade requests as well. There's been some big news. It's been a pretty cool, it's been a fun like watch party for the off season so far.
Yeah, I saw that it was that Kyrie was teasing a transfer to the Lakers, but he was like, oh no, never mind.
Yeah, not really sure what's going. I don't think anything's very concrete with the Kyrie situation.
Yeah,
most like the new development for the Brooklyn Nets though is that in the last few days, KD, Kevin Durant, has requested a trade off of the Nets. And I think that, so that's basically blowing up the whole team. Kyrie will leave if KD leaves, which we're anticipating that he will at this point.
And Harden's gone to the Sixers, eh?
Yep, Harden's on the Sixers now. And Daryl Morey, who's GM of the, is it GM of the Sixers, you know, was GM of the Rockets at the time of Harden's dominance there, and is now trading pieces to try and get some of Harden's old Rockets teammates back on now on the 76ers as well, which is quite funny. Sort of a bit of a Rockets rebuild in
That's
Philadelphia.
That's interesting.
Yeah, totally. No, they've got they've traded for Daniel House. They've traded for who have they put around there? Well, they're looking at Gordon Hayward. I don't think he's been secured. They've secured PJ Tucker, which is awesome. The 76ers are looking
really good.
Strong.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah. Really good. Also, I think Boston has improved as well. They have just come off of a finals loss to the Golden State Warriors. I had them winning the whole thing, but it shows what I know. I'm not really a very experienced basketball fan, so, you know, yeah, shows what I know. But, like,
I did hear a lot of people did, though. A lot of people had the Celtics winning that series, but the Golden State Warriors were just too good in the end.
I remember watching. Sorry to interrupt.
Go for it.
I remember watching. I'm not huge. I kind of very, very casually follow basketball, but I remember watching. I think it was the third game of Celtics versus the Bucks.
Yeah.
Who won the previous NBA playoffs? Oh, the Celtics absolutely mopped the floor with the Bucks.
Yeah.
I just thought these are like guys are a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And I guess the Golden State. It's like the Blues and Crusaders, isn't it? Like you think the Blues having the season they had could have beaten the Crusaders, but they're just a force to be reckoned with.
But like,
playoffs, finals, sports is just so different to regular season sports, right? That's it.
But like it's the most interesting thing I find with basketball is that there's a bunch of super teams filled with all these star players, but it just goes to show that it doesn't match up to a team which is like which works together well,
look
and
at
that
the Nets lineup from was
which was insane.
Teams?
It was crazy. KD, Kyrie, you had James Harden.
Yeah, I'm glad that thing didn't succeed. To be honest, I've been embedded to the Nets because of their sort of like their, I guess their team building philosophy, I think, is a bunch of BS. And I'm glad it didn't work out. Yeah. Although I'm gutted for the teammates who, you know, got half a season out of their teammate Kyrie, who's meant to, you know, be working so hard for them. But hey, you know, that's why you're giving your son a flat earther or whatever, right?
That was weird. That all happened there. Feel for the other representative for Kiwi basketball in the NBA, though. Is it Sean Marks who's the GM?
That's right.
Well, isn't he owner or the GM?
Owner, right, I think.
Yeah.
Or,
so that's rough.
Got a lot of money involved. Yeah.
Come back to the Breakers. I'm just kind of just on the off chance. A couple of the players that were playing in the NBL that didn't choose to go to college actually got drafted.
That's true, which is
cool to see.
That's
actually like there's a big decision to not go to college and instead go play professional outside of America, but it's actually paying off for them, which is good to see.
A lot of players from Europe the same as well, and the G Leagues too. Developed some great players.
Yeah,
Yang was one of them.
Yeah,
I don't know where he went, but I saw it, like I said, just scrolling through social media.
Yeah.
What else? Yes. So, obviously, if you've been keeping up with sports... Actually, I feel like I should probably go, like, brush over the UFC real quick, because that was...
Crazy.
Insane. Izzy obviously got the win over Cannonier. I didn't really see that going any other way.
It was just... You see, like... Because you'd think, oh, maybe, I don't know, Cannonier could have taken that, but no, Izzy's just... He's a new breed of fighter. He's just so, like... Even though he's, like... He's very, like, very cocky, very arrogant, but, like, he can fight. He lives up to that.
Yeah.
He's like a good guy as well. Like, he just dominated their fight, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I'm talking about.
on the No, you are right. But on the preliminary card, we had some great fights. This card was insanely stacked. Like, just there was at least, how many? One, two, like three main event worthy fights on this, just on the main card alone. Yeah, unfortunately, Jalen Turner. Oh, no, great for Jalen Turner, but our boy Brad Riddell didn't get the dub. He got subbed in the first round, 45 seconds into the first round. He got caught with the right hand, and then, he was mounted with a guillotine, subbed with a guillotine by Jalen Turner. Jalen Turner's huge for that weight class at lightweight. He's like 6'3". He's a force to be reckoned with, so a definite future world champ. Donald Cerrone was subbed by Jim Miller via guillotine as well. Two veterans. Jim Miller now has the most wins in UFC history. But Donald Cerrone obviously hung up his gloves.
Unexpected, you think?
Yes, I think it was expected. He's a legend of the game, and he's had so many great moments. But yeah, I think it was about that time.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
Volk's won something, didn't he?
Volk did win. Volk won his fight as well. But I want to go back to just how good the co-main was great, right? But the game plan from Volkanovski was just, like, he completely shut out Holloway. He really left no doubt, especially after the two first fights, you know? Because obviously the Volkanovski v. Holloway 1 was super close. Volkanovski v. Holloway 2... arguably went to Holloway, obviously went to Volk. I had Volk winning those last few rounds. But yeah, like insanely close. You know, plus we had the two, Holloway knocking down Volkanovski in their second fight as well. So going into this, there was a lot of controversy and there was a lot of hype. Because it's like, dude, this is the trilogy fight. This is almost feels like the decider, even though Volkanovski was technically up 2-1. But just because of that second fight, there was some that controversy with whether who actually won. So yeah, Volkanovski complete shutout. Like it wasn't even close, you know. He's so good, like he is pound for pound the number one fighter in the UFC. Mm. You know, he's surpassed Kamaru Usman. I think the only thing next for him is to go up to lightweight, and he will probably challenge the winner of Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev. Which that in itself is an interesting fight, you know, because you have Oliveira who's had this insane come up. He's beat all these. Actually, he obviously had a rough start. You know, his career has been quite interesting, but now he's definitely reached his prime and his peak. He was stripped of his title last fight because he missed weight. But you know, let's be real. He's the rightful title holder. Well, the middleweights on this card were also interesting because we had Alex Pereira fighting Sean Strickland. Sean Strickland thought he could stand with Alex Pereira, but the game plan just wasn't that smart on his part. I don't know why you'd want to stand with a world-class kickboxer like Alex Pereira, who's just a monster.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's scary, you know? Obviously he has that two wins over Israel, including that devastating knockout. And obviously him winning that fight sets him up for that fight with Israel. Last thing, the reaction to Adesanya's fight was interesting. People obviously just criticizing it for being quite boring and non-eventful, I guess you could say. That's understandable. But it is fighting. Yeah. You kind of do have to understand the sport a little bit, and that there is a nuance to it. In order to get these crazy knockouts, you obviously have to put yourself in the firing line. You know, it doesn't always work out trying to knock someone out, you know. Yeah. There's such a huge gamble you take doing that. So, yeah. And Israel's himself is so good at not getting hurt. Like, he neutralizes every single person that he fights. You know, like he's just that good. Yeah. So he did exactly that to Cannonier. And he claimed, I think the closest round was round 3, which I think went to Cannonier. But yeah, Israel's just too good. Interestingly enough, it sets him up for this fight with Pereira. Now, Pereira has been hunting him down since the kickboxing days. You know, UFC signs him. He smokes his first, like, what, three opponents, and he's already in title contention. Mm. That's crazy.
Yeah, very fast.
You know? So, yeah, the UFC's looking real interesting. There's heaps of good fights coming up. Dos Anjos versus Fazayev, Ortega versus Yair Rodriguez. Yeah. Keep an eye on the UFC as well as keep an eye on boxing as well, because there's heaps going on in combat sports right now. So, yeah.
Speaking of combat sports slash not really a combat sport, more of a performing arts thing, you know exactly what I'm going to say, eh?
Yes, sir.
Logan Paul has signed a WWE contract.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
To be honest, that's exactly where I could see him going.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. He's been, and he's featured in WWE a couple of times. He's yeah. done well.
He's plus, really talented.
Step down as chairman temporarily, so fuck knows what.
We did talk about that the last time. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, for fun, he's actually going to make a career out of something that's not social media.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't flop. I'm kind of rooting for him here. I don't inherently dislike Logan Paul. Don't inherently like him. I'm not a consumer of his media, nor of his prime sports drink. But, yeah, good for him. He's got a professional contract. I mean, it just reminds me of how much of a cop-out Ronda Rousey did with her career.
No, because Ronda Rousey was given terrible advice, right? In my opinion, at least.
Well, what was the circumstances?
She was brought in as the striker. She was convinced that she was the next Mike Tyson or whatever. But it's like, you're not. Like, you don't display the same striking. You don't have the same striking IQ as these high-level guys do, you know? Like, she got humbled by a high-level striker in Holly Holmes, who is a decorated, you know, decorated in that art form, you know, whether it's boxing or kickboxing. She's legit. But yeah, I don't know why Ronda Rousey thought she could go in there and be like, yeah, I can stand with her. You know, and she had this amazing judo pedigree, a grappling pedigree, which she just didn't use, which is unfortunate. Yeah. But that's just, I don't know.
That's the way
the cookie crumbles, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. But definitely pretty cool to see Logan Paul in the WWE.
Yeah, did not expect that.
I guess Logan Paul brings a whole bunch of maybe people who haven't historically been WWE fans to the sport as well.
Yeah.
New generation of fans.
New generation of fans.
You've definitely got the charisma for it to be like that kind of. Like, it reminds you of like a Dolph Ziggler type. Mm-hmm. It's like charismatic asshole.
Yeah, but Ziggler was. I remember when I was watching wrestling and Ziggler was just like the prime. He was this. He was like the prime example of that new up-and-coming talent, and he was so good at just being an asshole.
Yeah, it's like The Miz, isn't it? Like a new version of The Miz at the time.
Yeah, there's The Miz still wrestling.
He's still kicking it, to my knowledge. Damn! Not 100% sure, but he's still going, I think. Mike Miz, Mizaz, I don't know. His last name is something, Miz.
I remember his, like, that big run he had in 2011, I think it was, where he was just the top guy, and everyone, yeah. Huh. I was so mad as an 11-year-old kid.
Yeah, you know they're good at their performance when they actually just like dislike them.
When he won the title, when he won the world title, I was pissed.
Was it when he cashed the Money in the Bank?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, that's. Just 11-year-old me never felt so much seething rage before.
But like, he just didn't feel like he deserved to be there. But he did, because if you hated him, then he damn well deserved to be there.
Vince McMahon was just raking it in, so I'm sure he had no issues with it.
Oh, exactly.
Dickhead.
yeah, wrestling's looking pretty slick right now.
Wrestling side tangent here.
We have for the last like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Just a bit of backstory, like 4 weeks ago when I did the show with Sam, like a quarter of the show was just wrestling because there's so much to talk about within wrestling because there's just always drama and shit going on behind the scenes.
We're gonna bring up Dark Side of the Ring at least once.
Yeah, because Dark Side of the Ring was. Definitely brought to the forefront a lot of issues which do happen in the locker room. And it's fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fucked up. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, very interesting stuff. Yeah, there's a bunch of other stuff we can go over, but we don't have our resident motorsport expert, Amelia, here with us today. Nika is in the studio with us, so tennis. There's a lot of tennis going on.
Wimbledon, right?
Yeah, Wimbledon is going on right now. Kyrios. Kyrios. My bad.
He has made it through to.
Not without a hissy fit.
Quarterfinal.
He did. Yeah, there was. He did have a bit of a. He was a bit upset on court.
Was that, did he beat Sissy Pass to go through?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a shame.
That's a grudge match, I guess, eh?
Oh, just the two biggest brats in the sport.
Yeah, and I think he's been... what's his name? Not Kyrgios, but the other guy?
Tsitsipas?
Yeah, Tsitsipas has been fined for... he hit the ball into the crowd.
Oh, and, that's right.
Yeah, I think 14,000 USD or something like this.
Something that cracks me up is when it was like... like, his mum always tells him off on the sidelines. He's like this, like, cool, like, new hotshot tennis player. He's still getting yelled at by his mum on international TV. I mean, good for her. If he's been a shit, then...
Yeah.
He needs to be told about it.
Yeah.
But he is... Kyrgios is like, the bad boy of tennis.
Yeah.
Don't you agree? He's a great player, though.
Yeah.
He can. He's the same kind of... like I said with Israel Adesanya earlier, he has the attitude, but he actually lives up to it with his ability.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. If I can just find the clip of him being upset.
Just find the compilation.
Yeah.
There we go.
Is this it? No, I don't think it is. Here we go.
Is complaining that Tsitsipas has hit the ball into the crowd and should be defaulted. No Tsitsipas is arguing down there.
The ref's coming out. So this is what happened here.
Yeah,
this is like...
huge frustration in losing that set. I think he's trying to get the ball into the box.
Didn't quite get it. Missed the
hand. It just narrowly missed that man there. Again.
Chaos.
Interesting.
Tsitsipas.
Tennis is like that, though. Like, when in his last press conference, a lot of people were criticizing him for the way he dresses on court. He's like, oh, he's wearing Jordans on court. Like, who wears Jordans on court? What the hell? It's tennis, and blah, blah, blah. Because it goes against, like, the traditional sort of tennis
because I think it's might be Wimbledon. There's, like, a specific dress code, like an old traditional dress code.
At Wimbledon?
I think so. You have to wear, like, white shorts and white shoes. Like, I don't know if it's... It's one of the majors. I don't know if it might be Roland Garros or Wimbledon or the US Open. I think it was Wimbledon. We have to... like, I think the women's players have to wear, like, white skirts.
Yeah.
And the men's players have to wear white shorts or pants or some stuff.
Do we think Nadal's on his way to the calendar Grand Slam? I think that's what people are saying, right?
Potential. Not Nadal, maybe. No. Yes, yeah. Probably. He's still absolutely destroying the tennis world.
Yeah.
Although
one thing, I don't know if either of these players are still playing, but if it's a Maria Sharapova Victoria Azarenka final, I'm having my TV on mute. Back and forth. Yeah. Good lord.
still two great tennis players.
Oh, heck yeah.
Serena Williams is a wild card in Wimbledon? I did see that as well.
She's coming back to New Zealand for the ASB Classic.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Awesome.
It's good.
It'll be awesome to see. Because, she got eliminated last time, I think. And Sam Buddy won it, didn't she? Is that Sam Buddy? Have I got the right name? Who retired suddenly after winning a big tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah, she won the last ASB Classic, if I'm not incorrect there. Yeah, I remember Serena Williams got eliminated, like, very early on.
Mm. Yeah, we also had the British Grand Prix over the weekend. I don't want to mispronounce his name, but yes, he did have quite a bit of a horror crash, which I think was the main highlight of that.
Saw George Riddell hopping out of his car to go get him, which I respect greatly.
Yeah. Still that. The addition of the halos.
Oh, gravies? I didn't know they had pre-made gravies. That's cool.
It's out and away we go. Sainz gets away well, as does does Lando Norris, as does Lewis Hamilton, who's already ahead of Charles Leclerc, and Max Verstappen into Abbey takes the lead ahead of Carlos Sainz, and at the back that's George Russell out of this race, who's finished in the top five in every race this season, but he's out by the time they get to turn one. Off the track there goes Charles Leclerc, and the red flag has now come out to make racing redundant. There's the initial contact. That's where the car then is upside down onto the gravel, and then it flips and tries to right itself. And as it does so, that's by the barriers, and then it goes over the tyre barrier. And is it Gasly that makes the contact?
Basically, George was coming a little bit left, and they pincered Gasly in the middle, and it's immediately just the face of the tyre contact.
I think he's
flipped
all right.
The car completely over.
Stefano Domenicali in conversation with Joe Guanyu, making sure he's okay. Sebastian Vettel goes into the back of Alex Albon. Gets the tap. Nothing he can do. Sent into the barriers. Just avoids Daniel Ricciardo. And I think then makes contact with Esteban Ocon. What's going to happen second time around?
Fact, I found out when I googled.
Is he?
Yeah, only current and only ever Chinese driver to have driven in the Formula One.
Damn.
Yeah, he's only 23 too, which is cool.
Oh, he's so young.
And Liam Lawson just got promoted to a reserve F1 driver.
Did he?
Yes.
I didn't see that. I also saw Scott McLaughlin won Indy as well.
That's quite the transition, eh?
An IndyCars race.
Was he Bathurst?
Obviously, quite a driver, yeah. God, super talented.
Bathurst to Indy. Scott Dixon still kicking it?
Yeah, he's still kicking it. That's
if your name's Scott and you're from New Zealand, go to the
IndyCar. Or IndyCar, not Indy 500.
Oh, true.
Indy 500's a race.
Indianapolis.
That's like the equivalent of me saying, you do UFC? Yeah, I do the NBA. Yeah. I play the NBA. We all know someone that does that.
I play the NBA.
Yeah.
Well, if you're playing 2K, then you guess you could say that.
I guess so. Yeah. Geez, what else was over the weekend? Actually, I know what it was. It was the All Blacks. But if there's one thing which we don't took,
not fans of the All Blacks, eh?
Look, man. I enjoy watching the All Blacks play, but some people here don't.
I don't mind them. I just couldn't be bothered this weekend.
Rob once told me that the All Blacks are only good for the haka. Right, you watch the haka. Oh, that was cool. And then that was it. Yeah, it was.
Has it maybe a particular agenda, though? Or
I just think it's a BFM thing.
Yeah, you know? BFM thing.
I like rugby. But I don't know, I just wasn't feeling it this weekend.
I just think it goes, it's like, it's always on, and we just came off the Super Rugby season, and it's like, oh, more rugby. Yeah. And
good to see, it's like quite good to see the All Blacks playing, though, even though they haven't been that great in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, the Māori All Blacks,
they dominated Ireland.
They had a couple old schoolmates in that team.
Yeah.
They played really well. I didn't watch it, but good on them. A couple Irish players that had played the Māori All Blacks previously, like Jamison Gibbs something.
Yeah.
Current Irish player, used to play for the Māori All Blacks.
Damn.
Good for him.
That's interesting.
You know, I
enjoyed the game. I thought it was good, but I do always feel a little bit conflicted about, you know, any kind of support for the All Blacks. The bloody Ineos oil blacks, the domestic abusing all blacks. I don't know.
Because of that history. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Just a lot of, it's not just Severus. There's been a lot of them to wear black, and they've never said anything about it before, right? I mean,
it's the most prestigious position in this country.
Yeah. If you're going to be a role model like that, you just can't do shit like that. Yeah. Even if, regardless if you are a role model, feathers get away with shit like that, it's horrifying.
I mean, that's a really big and controversial sort of, you know, conversation, because it involves, you know, thinking about what people's responsibilities are, and if it's better that people can you rehabilitate through sport or something?
Yeah.
Are you actually just worse off in jail, maybe? But that being said, you do just sort of wish that the ABs as an organization would come out and just say, just do something, just like make a face, you know, some charitable work or something like this, a donation of money, I don't know, just anything to suggest that they actually do give a damn.
Do they acknowledge the situation?
Yeah, do they acknowledge it?
Do you think they're put on a pedestal in New Zealand?
Of course.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'll just call me Captain Obvious. Yeah, sorry, that was a dumb question.
No, I mean, the All Blacks, I mean, if speaking from experience, travelling overseas, if I'm ever like in a cab or in a restaurant or just talking with someone, first thing people will associate New Zealand with is the All Blacks.
Oh, yeah.
regardless if it's like a rugby country or not.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being in Uruguay, and someone was like, oh, All Blacks.
Yeah.
And I was there, I was like, fuck, I didn't even know Uruguay had a rugby team, let alone.
Oh, they do, they do.
Well, then, yeah. This...
They were in the World Cup, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They did, yeah. And they overperformed as well.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, that's on me for not avidly watching rugby. And the Warriors won. Sorry, this is the
transition I was going to go into.
Okay.
The Warriors were playing at home. Complete, like, great game against the Tigers. But there was so many streakers. It was insane.
Good for them.
Like, there was, like, nine. I don't know how many people there were.
I mean, if you're going to assume that the Warriors lose, how do you react when the Warriors win? Run naked on the field. It was valid.
Like, I just don't understand.
I was at
like,
the airport, actually, yesterday, seeing off a mate who was moving overseas, and I saw the West Tigers there.
Yeah.
Commiserations.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
I can find it. Yeah, it was crazy. I think there was some videos that did go viral.
Yeah, I saw one on TikTok.
You saw this?
Gapping it on the pitch. It was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, not funny, completely illegal. I knew wrong.
Wrong, very, very wrong. Oh, it's an ad for ZM. Yeah, says here, a pitch invader that disrupted the Warriors' homecoming game win over the West Tigers on Sunday has filmed his experience. Yeah, that viral video on TikTok where he just, like, filmed himself running.
Brought the camera with him.
Yeah.
But,
350.
Chuck him up the Warriors, chuck him in the wing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who needs to go through a painful trial and error process, going making up through the ranks? Just oh god, that reminds me of this.
The
there it is. That's the one.
There he goes, running across the field. Yeah, there. You can tell when they pop up too. It's the cassette thing, but yeah, the filming gets rough.
I have to say, the cameramanship, definitely, good for this, that's good for him.
It's great, good it was great. Yeah.
No, of course the ACC ad comes up after it.
Yeah.
The commentary collective.
Yeah, jeez, it's great.
No, it's good to see the Warriors win, especially in a hugely packed out Mount Smart. Because, I mean, first home game in a long time, eh? Reminds me of going to the Phoenix a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
first home game in a long time. Beat the Western Sydney Warriors.
Damn.
And one of the Western Sydney strikers, I think it's Stojkanovic is his name, absolutely scuffed a penalty. Now he plays with the Phoenix. Which is... that's quite funny. Great business. Actually, more transfer news, if you don't mind me butting in.
Yeah.
The A-League has two very, very high-profile signings coming.
Yeah.
Charlie Austin, who played for QPR in the second tier of English football, signed for Brisbane Roar.
Okay.
He's come straight from England, playing consistently in England, to playing in Australia. Really bad for his career, but great for the A-League. Like, get some high-profile players. I mean, we did have Daniel Sturridge from Liverpool at Perth Glory, who was a tremendous flop. So hopefully Charlie Austin can... do well. That's been confirmed. He's definitely going to be playing for Brisbane Roar. And Nani, Manchester United legend,
is
on the verge of signing for Melbourne Victory, which is
that would be cool,
huge for the A-League.
Yeah.
So they'll be amazing to see him play in the A-League. Because there's been high-profile players in the A-League before, but none as really... Because, I mean, the first big high-profile player was Alessandro Del Piero, playing for Sydney FC in, like, 2011.
Yeah.
He was, like, he's one of the greatest footballers of all time.
But Nani signing with...
Melbourne Victory
would be...
Like, he's the first... Good. I mean, there's been high-profile players before, like Daniel Sturridge and Keisuke Honda playing briefly for the Melbourne Victory as well. Like, players that have succeeded in Europe but aren't on that kind of hugely successful level. But Nani's amazing.
Man.
I hope he does well, because he was just playing in Serie A last season, top tier of in Italy.
Nani.
Yeah, Nani.
What's the motivation to sign in Oz?
Is he quite old?
He's going to retire.
Twilight years.
35.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Okay, now I recognise him.
Yeah, now he played for Man United, like, right in there, like, super good. Like, just before Alex Ferguson left.
Yeah.
He's insanely good. And no matter where he goes, he's been great. He's in the MLS in America for a while, played for Orlando City in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He was great there.
But they either do go to, like, the MLS or... The A-League is surprising, though.
A-League, yeah, it's surprising. A lot of players went to China because, like... for a while the Chinese Super League had absolutely no wage cut, no wage caps. They'd be paying players like $1.5 million New Zealand dollars a week, but they've since like demolished that. Now it's gone back to being an ordinary league. So all the players that did go to China have now gone elsewhere, apart from one or two. But like, yeah, but often players will go to the MLS, or they'll go to like a Middle Eastern team, like a Qatari or a Saudi Arabian team. Or Australia seems to be a new destination, which is great for us. Yeah. So I remember for a while, Michael Essien, ex-Chelsea midfielder, was linked to the Phoenix, which would have been so cool to see Michael Essien playing at the Caton down in Wellington.
But the thing is, it's all money, right? They need to have that money, that the funds, in order to transfer these players. But
really, like, because they're older and not as good, they won't be worth as much. So true. It's kind of both. Like it's a chance for the players still to play in like what's considered a top league.
Plus, it gives them that. It gives the league that.
Huge, that kind of hope.
That coverage, yeah.
And internationally as well, like especially players like Nani and Charlie Austin, like they're both still in like good players playing. Like within the last year, we're playing some of the top leagues in the world.
And their fans in Europe, they have so many fans in Europe that just give the A League that coverage in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well,
which is good.
Man, that's exciting, actually.
Oh yeah. I'm excited to see Nani play. Very excited. Marco Rojas as well, Kiwi boy. Probably going to get his position taken over by Nani, but it'll be cool to see them two playing alongside each other.
Yeah, geez, that's exciting stuff.
And the transfer window's only really technically started on the 1st of July, because that's when all the players, either they go to their new clubs. Because it starts on June the 1st, when you can officially sign players. But players don't travel to their clubs until July the 1st, and like when contracts expire, when players, so it really begins on July the 1st. So even we're like technically a month, but not technically like 3 days into it, it's already been a mad window. It doesn't end till the 1st of September either. So it's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be a good one.
Man,
looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it.
And you here on the playbook, you'll be hearing it every week.
And I'm excited. I'm excited. Yeah, this episode will be a bit short this week, but we do have some very exciting stuff in the works here at the playbook. But I don't know. Might not start till the uni season starts. Oh, sorry, the uni season. The uni semester starts. Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo on the playbook? Surely.
So, hopefully. The next, I just want to say this month, Kai Carter France is fighting. That'll be the end of July, though, so that's like the main big sort of fight news, especially out of New Zealand, coming soon. But yeah,
something to look forward to. That's good.
It's always good. Always
so
good.
If we're talking things to look forward to in our respective sports, Cristiano Ronaldo has submitted a transfer request from Manchester United. He wants out, so he could be heading. He could be heading somewhere.
That didn't last long, huh?
Oh, not.
I kind of want to save that rant between you and Rob, because I feel like you and Rob would.
That's just something to look forward to in the next few weeks.
But I just, I'm wondering.
Saga unfolds there.
Yeah, where do you, I'm. Was it Chelsea mentioned? Or
Chelsea
was I just,
were interested in Ronaldo, but I don't think I'd ever see Ronaldo in a Chelsea kit.
That would
you
be
know,
hilarious.
I think I need Rob to bounce off for this one. Although Rob probably say.
I don't think I know enough about the subject.
I think it's pretty fresh news, whether it actually comes to fruition. Because I mean, when a player submits a transfer request, the club pretty much can't do anything to stop them from going. Unless, they pretty much can't do anything to stop going. Because United had their worst season ever last season. And pretty much Ronaldo was one of the only saviours within that team. Like, several games that season, he came in clutch, like scoring a winner or an equaliser within those games. And I'm not surprised he wants out. Because as Rob's favourite player of all time,
he's gonna listen to this.
Slappy Maguire, the fridge. The £80 million flop. Having to have him being the boss of Ronaldo as captain of the United squad, I'm not surprised all that Ronaldo wants out. But I don't know where he'll go. I'll be interested to see where he goes.
Do you reckon he'll stay in the UK?
No.
Nah. Go to Europe.
Back to continental Europe, surely.
Surely, that's where the money is, eh?
See him in Romania.
Maybe Germany.
Germany.
Bundesliga.
Yeah. Only team he'd go to in Germany would be Bayern Munich, who's just signed Sadio Mane. So.
The best football player in the world.
Actually, Lewandowski is most likely on his way out of Bayern, so he could fill that striker void. That would be ridiculous. Have Mane and Ronaldo. Oh my god, that's career mode stuff right there.
Career mode stuff?
FIFA 22 career mode. Yes, I've got a 23 year career mode with Burnley. I stopped when they got like four quadruples, like, like back to back to back to back. Like consecutive, that's a way better way of describing it.
Damn.
Just Premier League, Carabao Cup, Champions League, and another trophy. FA Cup, 4 years in a row.
Damn.
Yeah, 23 years.
That's crazy.
It was a waste of time. It was 23 years. It was like, what was it? Like the 2000, what's like the 2045-46 season where I quit.
I don't know how you play sports. Like, I can play sports games, but just for one.
I
don't
actually play them. I simulate the games.
Oh, okay.
Manager mode.
Yes, yeah, manager mode. Just, like, simulate them. Fucking playing, like, 20 years worth of games.
I'm just wondering if you can offer us any insight into, like, what is going on in global politics in 2045-46.
Yeah, yeah, if you could.
Are they still on smartphones?
Nuclear winter.
Ah, of course. Burnley winning in the nuclear winter.
Because they have no competition.
Yeah.
They've been bought out. There was such a financial war against who was to buy out Burnley as a club.
Yeah.
All of that
started World War Five.
Yeah, all the global corps.
Yeah.
Tussling, like, for control of
Apple and Samsung are no more. Yeah. Fisher and Paykel's where it's at. Fisher and Paykel smartphones.
Fisher and Paykel on the one side and Google on the other.
No, Bing. Bing's made a surprising, surprising comeback out of nowhere. Now everyone's Googling. Oh, wait, I can't say. Everyone's Binging Google. Wait, no, everyone's only using Google to Google Bing.
You heard it here first.
The opposite. Hot takes.
Yeah, play this in 20 years' time.
20 years' time.
23 years' time.
I would say I'd bet you $5, but then I'd have to pay everyone who's listened to this $5.
So $5. So maybe like $15.
Well,
if your powers of precognition have been really strong, then maybe a lot of people have listened in 20 years' time.
Of course, you might have to listen.
Yeah.
And who knows, 20 years' time. Hoping well, dead. Touch wood.
A few more things to look forward to. Austrian Grand Prix is coming up, I think, this week? No. Yeah, no, next week. It'll be on Monday. Played Monday morning.
How do they get all the cars around?
Trucks, playing, I don't know. They drive them there.
They're
cars. What do you
mean? On the A1 motorway, just seeing like hundreds of F1 cars, you know, like 300Ks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, roadie.
Once you only take like 45 minutes to get from Azerbaijan to Silverstone.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, and what else is there? A lot of cricket going on, but again, resident cricket expert Rob will cover that probably next week. So yeah. Thanks for everyone for listening to this week's playbook. This felt like a great takeoff.
Yeah.
Back into things, because the playbook had kinda been a little bit like, I don't know, not dead, just a bit like, oh,
just have a look on the side. Semester.
Yeah.
A little
ever since break. The when the uni semester finished, I think it definitely took a bit of a break. So this is the revival.
We're back at uni on the 18th of July.
Jeez.
Yeah, big ass break. I've been off for ages.
Same.
Forget we're both doing the same course at uni.
Yeah. I should have graduated like
good
a year
to,
ago.
Good
but
to have you in the studio, Lewis.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, man. I do appreciate this.
Writing some that's much cool. needed NBA analysis. We don't talk about NBA much on
here. That's
all right. Surely we'll shall we see you again?
Yeah, maybe. Sorry. I'll turn it up and I'll actually think of something before I come in next time.
The vast majority of these episodes, we just don't think.
Yeah, I've actually spent about 15 minutes going on transfer market and figuring out what transfers had happened before I came in. But I spent hours and hours just carefully analysing all of the transfers in the world.
Yeah.
Even I had about 15 minutes of content about the Persian Gulf League. But I'm sure there's many, many people who watch the Persian Gulf League. Actually, fun fact about the Persian Gulf League, their money team is called Tractor.
Tractor?
And it is...
Wait, what?
Yeah, Tractor is the best team in the Persian Gulf League. And I'm pretty sure they're owned by, like, a big tractor company, and they're just called Tractor. Not John Deere.
Man, that's cool.
It is dope. It's really cool.
Have you seen anything,
Jack? Fucking hell. I'm looking it up. Persian, is this the, says the top team is Istanbul.
Oh, I mean, probably not the top team anymore, but they're definitely in the league.
Persian, they're definitely in the league. Fulad, Golgahar, Sepe, are these a lot of, oh yeah, Tractor Sazi.
It's
Tractor. They're 13th.
Damn.
They're almost in relegation.
Yeah, Tractor Cultural Sports Economic Club is an Iranian club. Based in Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan. Ah, we should... Then, cool. We'll be covering the Persian Gulf League from now on.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Up the tractor.
Up the tractor. That's the team we're supporting?
Fuck yeah. Why wouldn't you support tractor?
Sweet, man. That's us for the playbook this week. Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for having us.
Peace. Sure.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.